This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Feed has been tagged as a likely culprit in transmitting porcine epidemic diarrhea virus that has killed about 8 million piglets in 30 states. Now that this possible transmitting source has been identified, a National Pork Board official says the virus sources must be found. Pork Board Science and Technology Chief Paul Sundberg says a recent Minnesota PEDV study points to pig feed as a vector, but not how the virus gets into the feed. Sundberg says corn and soybeans are exposed to processing facilities in the Midwest, but there are other possible virus sources.
We're getting vitamins and we're getting minerals from overseas. Much of that comes from Asia, and much of that is imported over the ocean, so it spends time on boats, it spends time at the docks, it spends time in transport, and so the question becomes, what does that time by temperature, by humidity factor have effect on PED or other viruses?
But Sundberg says early research shows PEDV would not likely survive long trips from Asia, even while it started in China.
That doesn't mean that it came from China. There are other countries that are infected with this same virus. Primarily, they are the Pacific Rim countries, the U.S., Canada, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and then come over to Peru, to Colombia, Chile, and Mexico.
Sundberg says USDA is calling a meeting of those and others in Chicago in late September to see if they have any clue on how PEDV is introduced into feed. The Pork Board is working with other groups here to better understand introduction and transmissibility.
We're looking at processing and how feed is processed to understand if the processing, for example, the pelleting of the feeds, is sufficient to make sure that the virus is inactivated.
The other focus is the immunity of the herd once exposed and how to enhance it. Sundberg says the Pork Board is coordinating with USDA on vaccine research and sow immunity. Efforts are also underway with Canada, but Sundberg says time is key.
We can't waste any time, and we can't waste any effort. We can't waste any money. We all have to be coordinated so we understand that what everybody's doing, and we don't reinvent wheels that have already been shaped and are already on the road.
Sundberg says PEDV is a coronavirus and that experience with a related virus shows that as weather cools, humidity ramps up, and barn doors shut, there will again be an increased risk of infection. The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is currently underway. The results were released for Illinois. For corn in Illinois, the estimated yield average is 196.96 bushels per acre, compared to the three-year average of 149.36 bushels per acre. For soybeans, the Illinois average pod count in a 3x3 square is about 1,299 compared to the three-year average of about 1,085. To see some of these results for yourself, you can visit AgWeb or Google the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
If you could design the perfect farm insurance policy, it would probably look a lot like AgriPlus from Country Financial. With AgriPlus, you get all the benefits of a standard farm policy plus higher limits on the coverages most important to you. Best of all, you can choose the coverages you want, so you're not paying for what you don't need. For help on achieving financial security, see me, your country representative, Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville today, and find out more about AgriPlus, custom-made farm insurance at an affordable price. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with five new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines. There are modules for light and medium-duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
Every minute M&M Service can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information, technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, so much more. M&M Service is dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation, too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local answer to your world of needs. Cool off this summer with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Serve ice-cold glasses of Prairie Farms whole, 2%, or skim milk at every meal. Or try the plastic pints for a healthy snack on the go. For a light summer lunch, try Prairie Farms low-fat cottage cheese or yogurt, or fresh veggies dipped in Prairie Farms French onion dip. And nothing tops a baked potato better than Prairie Farms butter and sour cream. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
As interesting cover crops grows, researchers are devoting more and more time trying to figure out how to best utilize them. Robert Bellum, crop systems educator with the University of Illinois Extension, currently has a 5-year cover crop study underway.
Yes, what we're talking about today, we've got a 5-year research trial that's actually funded by the Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council, looking at the effect of cover crops on long-term soil characteristics such as bulk density, organic matter, nitrate movement down through the soil profile. And so we're just presenting some of the preliminary data today on the results of that trial. We're looking at several different individual cover crop species on a corn and soybean rotation over a long-term 5-year trial here.
And you really picked a fun 5 years to do this in. It seems like we've had a whole bunch of different weather concerns.
Well, one thing we have found is that it is a challenge to establish cover crops. In order for these cover crops to establish and get any growth in the fall, they typically have to be seeded sometime from maybe early September in the northern part of the state to as late as maybe October 1 in the very southern tip of the state. And, you know, that's when your corn and soybean are growing in the fields. These cover crops have to be broadcast into a standing crop, and if you don't get adequate rainfall at the time that is aerially seeded, then establishment becomes problematic.
And you spend all this effort into establishing it, and then later when it's time to plant your crop, you need to figure out how to kill it.
That is very true. One thing we do tell growers that are trying this for the first time before you ever put the cover crop seed in the ground is you better have a plan to get it killed in the spring, because you definitely don't want the cover crop to depress your cash crop yield later on. So, you know, if you planning the termination of the cover crop, having the equipment to do that, and getting it done, you know, no matter what the weather conditions, is very critical.
And you also need to be careful in terms of planning what cover crops you use preceding what crops you're growing that year. If you have a rotational corn-soybean system and if you have wheat thrown in there too, that also complicates things further.
That's true. And, you know, some of these cover crops can potentially, you know, become weedy in some crops. You know, and so it looking at your crop rotation, there's probably, if you're looking at corn and soybean rotation, you have less restrictions. If you're going to have wheat in your rotation, there are some cover crops such as annual ryegrass or possibly hairy vetch that can potentially become weedy in wheat, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend those being used primarily in southern Illinois where most of the wheat is grown. You know, some cover crops do seem to do better in front of corn, some tend to do better in front of soybeans. So, you know, take home message is to study up, plan ahead of time, start out small, become familiar with it. And as you gain familiarity, then go ahead and see how it works out and maybe increase the acreage.
And it sounds like, you know, depending on your management system, cover crops can be an excellent system to use. But an emphasis on more research, I think, is primarily what we're seeing right now.
Well, that's sort of the standard statement that all university researchers do, you know, make. We need to do more research. And I think that's true, because we need to, you know, number one, establish what the costs are to implement these practices. What effect does it have on yield? You know, whether or not you get soil improvements or not, it still has to be economically profitable in order to initiate these types of practices. So, you know, we need to continue to do the research and look at that.
And for farmers who are wanting to establish cover crops but are looking at the economics of that, they could perhaps get funding from county NRCSs, is that right?
Well, in the past, there has been some local cost share money available through NRCS, but again, that's sort of available on a county-by-county basis and changes from year to year. So anyone interested in initiating cover crops for the first time may want to visit with their local NRCS office to see what may or may not be available. If nothing else, the local office may have drills and whatnot available for guys that wouldn't have equipment maybe to plant a cover crop after the full season crop has been harvested.
Again, that was crop systems educator with the University of Illinois Extension, Robert Bellum. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.